What is up, everybody? Week 6 in the books, and what a wild weekend of sports it was. I've got to give it to the Arkansas Razorbacks. They proved me wrong, and that was the happiest I've ever been losing a bet. Happy Monday, Sean. There's a couple upsets to talk about. Q, Nick, Todd, what's going on, fellas?
Pretty bland weekend. Nothing noteworthy.
So we were up there where we entertained friends over from Chattanooga, and they were big Vols fans. Obviously, if you saw the pictures on Facebook or Instagram, my wife actually wore Volunteers gear too. And we're sitting at the bar before the game, and jokingly, because the girl said, "Sorry, we're out of just about everything on the menu." And he was like, anything big going on this weekend? And it just like went right over her head. She was like hipster. And she was like, "Yeah, we had a big Post Malone concert last night." He was like, "Yeah, anything else?" Like, yeah, no, that's how little Razorback fans, or how little Razorbacks are like a premier matchup up there on the hill. When Post Malone comes to town, that steals the show. But Q, hats off to your Florida Gators. They get it done, and it's UCF.
They did their job. Nothing.
How you feeling about that one?
They only played good 30-minute football the second half. They had 4 first downs. They did tackle KJ, so I am pleased with that. But I think it's bad news, especially with Tennessee coming off of a bad loss. Florida has to travel there. I mean, I'll say this. It's usually a competitive game. There's not many blowouts for either side typically, but I do worry about the Gators traveling to Knoxville. I think they're going to be wide awake.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those weekends. Like I said on the show last week, 2 huge weekends coming up. But, of course, this is going to be the one that ends up with all the wild results. I mean, what, 5 out of the top 11 teams all get beat. So, yeah, just one of those weekends. It's the reason we all love college football or college sports in general, because, once again, like, we have to remind ourselves sometimes that these are kids and, like, letdowns can happen and things like that. So, yeah, it was an awesome weekend. Wish I could have watched it more closely. Obviously, I kind of had my phone on the games and was focusing on, obviously, the Tennessee-Arkansas game by the time that came on. But, yeah, definitely going to be going back through some of these probably the next couple of days.
Todd? Michigan did a good call, though. Michigan started or played Tuttle.
Yeah, well, I wish they would have started them. You know, I said that on the show last week. Again, you know, Orgy just is not good. And that kid, you know, at least he threw the ball down the field a little bit. They got down 14-0 really fast in that game, and they did come back and take
the battle. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. I don't like the coach. I just think the coach, they just handed him the job. And again, coming off a national championship, I think you got to brought in a better coach. And I just don't know. The defense is very overrated. They give up too many big plays, too many penalties. Ran the ball okay at times. And then late in the game, he got hit and he fumbled and then he threw a late pick. And that's just probably lack of, you know, practice. And hopefully they go with him. But their schedule's tough coming up. You could have some losses there at Michigan.
All right, let's get into the Pick'em contest real quick. Get this out of the way. Congratulations, Brilliant. Q, making some headway here, 3-0 week. What do you have to say for yourself?
Coming from the backside, trying to get a backdoor win here. We'll see. Arizona State, good win. Texas Tech, I watched the highlights of that. It seemed like it was kind of a weird game. I'll be honest, I can't speak much to it. And then Washington, to echo what Smitty said, I said I think the running game was, you know, finally going to come to a spot where they just couldn't overcome, and I think that kind of happened against, well, the Huskies. Sherrone Moore, I think somebody kind of alluded to it, they just handed it to him. I'd be curious to know if Michigan under the table was a little worried about maybe some sanctions. It's kind of why they gave it to him, kind of, damage control, get through a couple years, and then maybe they go get another big splash, but there's definitely some losses coming for the Big Blue. I'm glad I was able to call this one.
All right, let's move over to Nikki.
Yeah, next.
What happened?
Next. I mean, yeah, put 2 on the same game, hoping one would at least hit, thinking that if Tennessee got beat, you would have assumed it would have been in a shootout, like something happened to Tennessee's defense and Arkansas was able to score. obviously the game did not pan out anything like that. So yeah, that's just a huge, huge miss there. Louisville had their chances. Tyler Shuck just turned the ball over way too much, and they got back in the game and had it tied up with what, 3 minutes left, I think. So, I mean, they had their shot. Me and Grissom almost were able to middle this one, with both of us having it on our best bets, but yeah, wrong team scored. I just don't know what, I don't know what to do with this Louisville team or what to do with this SMU team, because the SMU looked awful to start the season, and now they're one of only four teams that are undefeated in the Big 12. So I don't know what to do with them. I'm probably going to have to watch more of them a couple of weeks and just kind of stay off both these teams for the near future.
And Smitty, pretty solid weekend.
Yeah, well, UConn, I mean, I know they got to 29 points, and that was a weird guy. Temple fumbled at the goal line. Only what Temple or Kent State can do. I mean, that's what they're going to – and then they ran it back. So it made it close, but – just too many times. The first drive of the game, they went right down the field and went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. Just too slow. I mean, actually, I should have lost the game. I mean, it's just – Nick said it at the beginning of the show here that it's just week in, week out, it's tough. I mean, teams that – they're scoring 47, 48, and now they're struggling against Temple, and that's college football. So, yeah, Q, you know, Arizona State, that was a good game. I watched some of that game when I was flipping off the Michigan game.
They're sneaky and good.
Yeah, they are. They got a good running back. I like the quarterback, a good player. And, you know, the Navy Air Force, I kind of called it pretty well. I think I said on the show last week, I said I thought Navy would score anywhere from 28 to in the 30s, and they did, and it was enough. It made me nervous. Made me nervous because, Nick, I made a text to you guys, and Nick's like, Smitty, everything's looking great. I'm like, no, I need another score. They're missing field goals, and their Air Force is going down and – not getting a first down. So I needed that good big run there, 50-something yard run, then set them up. So it's a good Navy team. I mean, Navy and Army, that's going to be a fantastic, fantastic game this year. Two very good teams.
Is that – do we know – is that in Philly or Baltimore this year?
I'm not sure. I think last year, wasn't it up in Boston?
I don't. Oh, yes, it was. It was. Yeah,
they played it up in up in the Patriots Stadium, I believe.
That one's going to be weird too, because so if either of those teams, as a Notre Dame fan, I actually am nervous of Navy and Army this year, just because they, which is a crazy thing to say, but yeah, they're legit. So if one of those teams is undefeated, that game is after the playoff is selected, so that game might not mean anything, which would be very interesting, because if one of these teams is like the group of five candidate, like there's a chance that Army Navy game just doesn't mean anything at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Q, I just real quick, I looked it up. I think it's FedEx Field.
Oh, Smitty, we might have to
go. Might have to go to that.
If we're sitting at undefeated, we have to try to go.
Yeah, that was an easy bet. Army and Navy, I feel like you just sit there and parlay them every week. They're both wagons. SMU was my best bet and the only bet that I won. Tennessee, like I said, to start the show, I'll gladly take that L because the fan in me really enjoyed that win. Although there was one point my buddy Chase, who's diehard Vols fan, I like couldn't even celebrate because the look on his face, he was ready to cry. So it was a quiet celebration in the Grissom house. Georgia minus 23, just swing and a miss. I saw Kirby Smart called out the fan base that they didn't really rally behind him and give him the home field advantage that he had hoped for. But on the flip side, they took care of business. They just didn't do it very flashingly. And then SMU,
I watched it.
Yeah.
It was not good. Georgia, the score, I think, makes it look worse than it was. That game was like a 7-point game for most of the game. Georgia did not look good at all.
Well, SMU paid a little extra juice to get them up to 7.5 and didn't need it. Should have just taken that and bet it on the money line. But we've got a shake up in the AP top 25. I think it's kind of funny that Alabama, they go straight to one, and Texas is like, well, what did we do? We didn't lose. Now they're back in that deservedly so number one spot. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Oregon. I feel like they just kind of set them up because they're playing a big game this weekend. But anything stick out to you guys in the top 25? I think a lot of Razorback fans were hopeful that we would crack that top 25, but not yet. I got to beat LSU next week after the bye week this week. Anything you like here?
Nice to see Indiana in there.
Little Pitt Panthers.
And I was going to just say, how about the Pitt Panthers right there? Yep, big win there again. And Pitt, Michigan should knock Michigan out of there.
Yeah, I can't believe Michigan.
Number 10. Number 10's quietly sneaking up there.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yep.
I mean, we kind of backed off of them after they got smoked by Georgia, but they're playing some good ball right now.
Nick, your two teams, 8-11.
8-11 hanging in there. Like I said, kind of Notre Dame has a good shot. Like, if you just kind of stay on this pace, let other teams lose in front of you. Schedule works out for them rest of the season outside of what I thought was going to be a better USC team, but they go and get beat by Minnesota. So, yeah, I don't know what to think. Like, Navy and Army are the probably two toughest games left. And then Tennessee, everything is still in front of them. That's kind of cool. What's cool about this 12-team playoff, like, if this was last year, there would be a couple teams, like, that are in that top 10 eliminated already. So, it is kind of cool that everything's still in front of them. I mean, Tennessee has Florida coming in, and then followed by Bama. Still have to go to Georgia. So, everything is still there for them. I think there's a couple teams that are ranked that shouldn't be, that just because of preseason rankings. Like, what has Mizzou done to stay in the top, to prove they're a top 25 team? Like, their best win is Boston College, who doesn't look anything special right now. And that was a comeback win. Michigan looks like Iowa right now. Like, that's what it reminds me of, like Iowa over the past couple of years. Sorry, Smitty. It's just like they're deep.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Hired their offensive coordinator.
Make it, Nick. Make it.
It is just defense heavy. Like, if this Michigan wasn't preseason ranked in the top 10, I don't think they're still ranked 24 or without a national championship last year. But like you said, it's cool to see IU up there. Once again, I hit a bet on them. They're just free money at this point until proven otherwise. But yeah, it's just, I still don't trust Kansas, like anywhere between that kind of 18 to 25 range. I just don't know what to think of those spots.
And how about that running back from Boise? That's a video.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
His stats. They posted
his number.
Insane.
He's down to plus 300 to win the Heisman. Like, that is way too short, but he's now the favorite. And
Game was like 75. They could have ran him. I think they kind of took him out. I don't think they really gave him the ball that much. They could have really made those numbers go way up.
I saw somebody tweet today that they said him winning the Heisman could be good for college football because it shows that, hey, you can still win a major award at a mid-major, and maybe it keeps some of those kids from going to those, you know, Ohio States and big schools.
I think they have to get in the playoff, though. I don't see him winning it. Yeah, I don't see him. Even if he breaks one or two of those Barry Sanders records, then there is a chance. But yeah, he's just going crazy.
Oh,
Sean.
Called out.
He's toeing the line.
Last week it was Jalen Milroe looked like far and away the favorite to win it. Now it's Ashton Jeanty and Travis Hunter, which I think both of them deserve to be there. Cam Ward with another crazy comeback win. I mean, to think Miami should realistically be 4-2, and here they are at 6-0. They just keep doing it. And then Milroe falling back to 11-1.
I think Gabriel should be higher.
Plus 225. I mean, if you like him to win it, I would say wait, because I think Boise State does drop a game and maybe his odds go back to 7-1, 8-1. But is there anything on this board right here that you would take a bite of right now?
Probably, Quinn, I don't like where some of the numbers are.
I mean, if I know Quinn missed a couple, but like if you're just putting $10 on something, if he just comes back against Oklahoma and just starts lighting it up, I could see that number worsening. You rip up your Dylan Gabriels. He's done. He looks horrible. He's starting to throw picks, and that Oregon offense sucks. I think Milroe still has a chance.
If they beat Ohio State, he could have that huge jump that Milroe had last weekend.
Yeah,
because
There's still a lot of big matchups left for a lot of these guys. Like Travis Hunter and Adam Genty, they're not going to get the prime time, you know, top 25 matchup. Meanwhile, you've got Carson Beck, Jackson Dart, who are going to face off against each other, and Nico, Cade Klubnik kind of quietly making the case for Clemson to really.
That's the one I'd probably put money on, Matt, is Klubnik from Clemson, just because they're scoring some points right now. And like each game, he's having like 4 or 5 touchdowns.
Let's look at college football playoff odds right now. Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama all look like shoe-ins to make it. And then you look a little further down the board now. Clemson -110, Smitty. Might not be a bad idea to jump in there.
I like Clemson. They're playing well. And I mean, again, you know, they did not look good that first game, but it was the first game of the year.
I think Utah +220, because I think they can still win the Big 12. And the winner of the Big 12 is obviously going. I think there's a little value there.
I think if you're going to put a little bit of money on something, why not Indiana?
Yeah, 400.
They're going to be favored. They're favored in every game the rest of the year except for Ohio State. And do they – like, will the committee leave out 11-1 Big Ten team? I don't see that happening. Because I heard there was another podcast that was doing it where, like, would you take a 3-loss SEC team, like, say – Tennessee loses 3 or Bama loses 3, would you put them in over an 11-1 Big Ten Indiana team when your only loss is Ohio State?
No, I don't think now with 12 teams. Because I don't think the committee feels like they have to get those big SEC teams in as heavily now, you know, now that it's not 4 spots. Now they're willing to take that chance.
But Indiana would be what, the 4th Big Ten team?
Depending on what happens with Oregon and Penn State.
Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State all get in.
Yeah, but then look.
4 SEC, 4 Big Ten.
Yeah, you could still get 3 or 4 SEC, so you get the best of both worlds now.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that pressure to only limit it to 4 teams. So I feel like that 5-6 conversation almost doesn't happen because now you're like, we'll just put them both in.
Oh. Nobody feels sorry for you, Sean. At least you're still alive after all the upsets. And then college football championship odds. Ohio State, your shortest shot now. Texas +400. I'm still not buying into this Ohio State team. I need to see it. If they show up and beat up on Oregon, tip of the hat, I think they're legit. But for the amount of money that they spent for this roster, I just haven't been impressed with them. And they had a chance. What was it? 7-0 against Iowa through like the first half. And then they kind of turned it on in the second half. I don't know. Maybe they were just coasting. It's nice that you're talented enough to be able to coast against a pretty decent Iowa team. But on the flip side, I think this weekend's going to tell us a lot about Oregon and Ohio State, because both of them have kind of dicked around, for lack of better words, to get to this point of being undefeated, but not really looking great.
I want to see what Penn State does too. You know, I know they went on the road and that was the first week of the season against West Virginia. And I know West Virginia really put it on Oklahoma State this past weekend, but I don't know how good West Virginia is. I want to see what Penn State team, because again, a little slow, and UCLA moved the ball against them a couple times and just stalled. And that was a backup quarterback. Bowling Green, we talked about before with Penn State, they were in that game. I want to see, and USC again, you know, that was a big loss to Minnesota. His numbers aren't great going out there. Like, it's not like this. They're kind of saying that this guy was going to go out there and change the world at USC, and really Lincoln really has not. So, but I want to see where that goes. That's a good bounce back spot, I think, for USC. They can stand up, and I want to see what Penn State can do on the road against maybe an average to above average team.
I think Tennessee has the team to do it. They will know this week. If they lose to Florida, it's done. If they boat race Florida, that tells me that they were able to get their mind right and bounce back and face some adversity. So I think +1800 is really good to look at. But ultimately, I think Texas at +400 is still value. That almost feels like a college baseball style line. But still, if you can, you know, win $400 on a $100 bet, I'll take that any day. Because I just think, even let's, you know, 09, you had McCoy go out, right? And it essentially cost him a national championship against Bama. Well, you have that situation now where he goes down, Quinn goes down, and then Arch Manning's right in, and it's like first-team offense, kind of All-American-style quarterback. So that's extremely dangerous to know that you have that. And they're just, to me, they're getting better each week.
So yeah, to take me, out
this. Oh, I was just going to say, this isn't a market I would touch right now. There's just too many big games coming up. It's sort of like the way I would do it is if you do want to kind of hedge some money lines that are going to be coming up with these big games, that's kind of the way to do it. Just say, like, for example, Ohio State, Oregon, say you play Ohio State here with this number and you get Oregon at that plus money line. That's kind of a way that you can middle it a little bit. So if you want to do it that way, that's fine. I wouldn't judge you, but this is not a market I would want to really touch right now with all the chaos we've seen. And we haven't even gotten to the big games yet.
Looking at Georgia plus 500, Alabama plus 650, I still think taking a piece of them. I mean, you look at Alabama's schedule upcoming, their really only test is at Tennessee. And assuming they can beat them, I mean, they're sitting at 11-1. They're going to be in the playoff versus a Georgia who still has to play Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas. I mean, Georgia could realistically be 9-3, and I don't think anybody would be surprised. So it kind of blows my mind that Alabama is a longer shot than Georgia at this point. But Ken says Penn State has the team, just not a big game coach. And yeah, I mean, James Franklin
say it every year.
Struggles to win the big one. It's kind of like Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss and why they're 18-1 right now, when they could potentially run the table and be 11-1. But have we seen enough out of Ole Miss to really put stock in them when Lane hasn't even played the big game yet?
No.
But we've got a good weekend ahead. We have obviously the big matchup, number 2, Ohio State, traveling to Eugene to take on number 3, Oregon. But then we've got the Red River rivalry. First time these two teams will play under the SEC umbrella. Got a good get-out game with Kansas State, Colorado. That should be fun. Penn State traveling out to LA to take on USC. Anything on this one that y'all stick out that y'all want to get into the early lines on as I sit here and pull those up?
Well, I think it's cool that I've always said, like, the Texas-Oklahoma would be an incredible night game. I like the 3:30 slot. I always thought the noon, I know, is involved with the Texas Fair, but man, that extra 3.5 hours of tailgating for those two schools, I think it's going to be a raunchy crowd, and I think it'd be incredible to be a part of. I think it's good for the game. There's a game off the topic. I know we talked about Thursday night football, Matt. I think Coastal JMU is going to be a banger for the Sun Belt to kind of open up that Thursday night football in a big way. I'm pretty excited about that one.
Yeah, it would have been bigger if James Madison wouldn't have gone and lost Louisiana Monroe last weekend. Yeah. That was another one where, like, it wasn't talked about in the huge upsets that happened last weekend, but they were the team that was expected to be the Group of Five representative going into last weekend, go and lay an absolute egg down there. So, yeah, definitely excited for that for Sun Belt reasons, but could have been bigger. Obviously, I'm looking at Tennessee, Florida. Q mentioned it. I will be there. Tailgating starts extremely early, probably getting there around like 4 or 5 a.m. So it's going to be long day, long, busy day. But let's see what this Tennessee team is made of. We mentioned it every time somebody loses. Can they bounce back? This is a team they should bounce back against. This is not your normal Florida team that has, I think, like, this is, they're down on talent. Like, it's not even just the coaching. It's not even at the quarterback level. It's just, like, talent-wise is not up to where Tennessee is this season. Now, I'm sure they'll get back there sometime soon. They always do. But this should be a blowout. So let's see if Tennessee can bounce back. Florida, if Florida beats Tennessee, maybe Napier stays another year, and Q would just be very angry for a win. So that's the one I'm obviously the most interested in outside of clearly Ohio State, Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon plus 3.5 as a home dog right now. We'll see if Dan Lanning can can shake off Washington last year and win a big game. But that's definitely front and center. I can't wait for that one. And then Ole Miss LSU, I think that could be a really good game too. I think LSU is +3 home dog at night. I know it's hard to go into Death Valley. We'll see if Ole Miss can get a big win. But that scares me, laying -3 with Ole Miss. I may be on LSU here. And then Kansas State, Colorado. I think Colorado's kind of surprised some people with how good they've played lately. Kansas State kind of hit or miss. We'll see. I think Kansas State is what, like a touchdown favorite in that one?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. 4.5.
4.5.
Okay. Oh, it's gone down. Yeah, I thought it was 6.5, I think is where.
That's what I thought I saw. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Utah laying 6.5 against Arizona State, who we just talked about to open the show. They look really good, kind of sneaky. This Friday, I don't know if there's been a team play midweek games more than Arizona State. I feel like every week they're in a midweek slot, Thursday or Friday night slot. Todd, I know you've got to go.
Yeah, I got to bounce, guys. So, no, I'm excited. I think homework starts tonight. We come back after some high school volleyball and check out the games. But, yeah, best of luck to everybody, and I'll see you later in the week.
All right. For Nick, Todd, Q, and myself.
Hey, before we go,
yep.
Use code INSIDERS at home field, 15% off your first order. Incredible apparel. It's soft. It's durable. If, you know, all the retro look that's kind of in right now, your bigger schools obviously have about 300 items, but even the small schools, Radford, they just released Howard University. So like they're making their way across the country. So Home Fit Apparel, code INSIDERS for 15% off your first order. It's worth it.
Thank you for that, Q. Good read. All right, guys, we'll see you Thursday or Friday for the preview show for week 7.